y'all, but I gotta hit y'all with the rest. My sister was thanking volunteers for Vacation Bible School. And I'm gonna tell you right now, if you don't work with other people's children, it might be the greatest ministry that you've never been a part of to come here, share the gospel with some people, and let them see a little kid's face light up over a cookie and some juice. Okay, so let me just read this to you from Isaiah 54. It says, sing, O barren, you that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, that's your heart, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall break forth on the right and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Desolate cities, empty seats. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded. For you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Thank you. You may be seated. I would challenge each and every one of you to stretch forth your tents, to strengthen your stakes, and to prepare for this place to be filled with young faces, open hearts, available minds. The kids aren't coming on their own. Their parents are coming too. They might not stay long, but let's be prepared for them. They might not smell as good as we do. Their teeth may not be as flossed as well as ours are. Okay? They may be challenged in the area of giving, because they don't have anything to give. They might not ever come in here, but maybe their child will be the one that leads them to Christ because you led them to Christ. It's an eternal ripple effect, guys. It's a circle. That's why we wear wedding rings. It's continual. If you guys follow hip hop a little bit, I'm not gonna rap for you, don't worry. But there's this light-skinned dude from Canada named Drake. And he's got this song out right now, and part of the song is, it's a rolling, not a stop, watch this thing don't never stop. Wow. It's a rolling, not a stop, watch this thing don't never stop. Okay? We're not just coming into this church thing in 2019 by accident. You guys, you and I, we were born at the right time. When I was young, you know, and I was thinking wild thoughts, and I was like, oh man, I wish I was alive in the 70s. You know, and I could have been out there and acting crazy, Studio 54 and all that kind of stuff. Man, I was born at the right time. Thank God I missed that. Okay. Well, thank you all for having me here in your house of faith this morning. As Conrad was saying, I teach high school. I've been a high school, I taught middle school for 3 years, but I've been teaching high school basically, you know, I started in 98 teaching, so this is 21 years in for me. Started coaching in 1994 while I was still in college. You know, usually when I say things like 25 years or 21 years, people are like, what are you talking about, knucklehead? Can you count? But my privilege has been to work with young people. It has availed me the opportunity to come into other people's homes via, you know, my words being in their house and having parents tell me things like, man, my daughter talks about you all the time. I'm like, your daughter that hates me to my face? Yeah, man, she loves you. What? You're so, you know, live with my patients in class. She's, you know, really excited. I'm like, she doesn't say anything in class. But she goes home and chirp, 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 chirp. So Conrad was saying that, you know, we were talking at the Avid Conference about FCA. FCA is short for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, okay? And I got started with that ministry because I knew that some of the things that I was doing weren't working. Real quick, 2010, fall of 2010, in Palmdale, not only Afro Man is from Palmdale, Marion Jones, the Olympic star, Paul George, Oklahoma City, there's a couple other, fairly famous people. Judy Garland is from the Antelope Valley, and John Wayne, and some other cats. And then I sleep there now, so it's pretty cool. In any case, fall of 2010, there's a young man who's a basketball player at Highland High School. He gets kicked out of school. He's having some issues. He and his girlfriend have a baby. They're obviously young. He gets into a conflict with a female security guard. It kind of goes left, and he ends up striking her, some kind of thing like that. He gets expelled from school. A little bit later, they're having some type of custody battle. He's trying to see the baby. She doesn't want to see the baby, yada, yada, yada. He goes over to the house. He takes the baby. They call the police. Before he went to the house, he put something on Facebook to the effect of, cradle to the grave, I ain't going back to jail, yada, yada, yada. Interesting. Long story short, that day ended with the mom alive and her baby's father and her baby not. Now my high school, now my kid, sad story, pray for the family, thoughts and prayers, but we got practice at 3. Get your practice at 3. I don't know that half of my team played ball, travel basketball, YMCA basketball with this kid growing up. They've known this brother for years. They're devastated. And they have no recourse. They don't go to church. They run track. They're high school kids. They're into, shaking their groove thing, having fun. They don't go to church, man. So I said, hey, come on in. Let's go in here. Let's talk about this. Friend of mine at the same time, a couple of weeks prior, my friend Israel, he's got a long Nigerian last name, I'm not going to try to pronounce this morning. Israel tells me, he says, Amos, I want you to get involved with FCA. I know you're doing Christian Club at your school, but I'd really like you to, be a part of what's happening with FCA. I'm like, yeah, cool, sounds good, man. I'm busy, man. The situation happened. I bring the kids in, we pray, we go out to practice. It's a horrible afternoon, send them home. A couple of weeks later, kids walking with a backpack on, walking with another kid. They're crossing Sierra Highway at Avenue K. That don't mean nothing to y'all, don't worry about it. Don't get lost in the minutia of the details. Kid says, hold my bag real quick. Guardrails are down, train's coming. Hold my bag real quick. Took a leap of faith, brother. Into the next life he went. I don't know that Laura Brown, who's on my track team, and a bunch of other kids that went to Antelope Valley Christian Center knew this kid. They grew up with him. Went to BBS with him. Sunday school with him for years and years and years. He was one of our kids. He wasn't no wayward child that was drug addicted and selling himself on the street. He was one of our kids. Nobody knew that this brother was near his last breath. Wow. No one. The cat that held his backpack had no idea. I remember like it was yesterday. Young man, the guy that was, he was on the Channel 3 News, they were interviewing him, he said, just one second he was there, and then the next second. We're talking about eternity here, guys. What we do here, every week, what we do here at your men's studies, at your women's studies, at your family study, family Bible studies, at the dinner table, when you say grace before you eat, when you bless your children before they leave your home, okay, every night before my kids go to bed,
It's been the same thing for a long time. Sometimes I'm tired, I'm lazy, I work, I'm half Jamaican, I work 16 jobs, I'm hustling, I'm ready to go to bed, but come here.
It goes like this. This is mine. Y'all can borrow it if you like. It goes like this. May the Lord watch over you. May the Lord keep you safe. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And give you peace. In Jesus' name. Every night.
Last night I missed it because I was here for Easter. And it was a beautiful time. But every night, it's a wonderful thing. And my children know that dad is flawed, dad ain't perfect, dad's a knucklehead, dad came from his dad who likes to say, salmon and smack with his mouth wide open and flirt with nurses. I mean, not nurses, I guess if he was in the hospital, but flirt with waitresses. My dad's a horrible flirt. Horrible. Horrible. Y'all pray for my father. He got my name. My name is good, my name is Clinton. I want the right dude to get the blessing, okay? Horrible flirt. Okay? And then when I started realizing that people put special sauce in the food in the back sometimes, I said, Dad, don't mess with that lady until I get my food. Leave that lady alone. And then when I got a little older, I was like, yeah, you come on now. Leave that woman alone. All right, so let's get to this a little bit. So I'm a coach, and I coach track and field. And the wonderful thing I love about track is there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide on the track. You either got it or you don't. In the long jump, you either jump further than everybody else or you didn't. Friday, 2 days ago, I saw something I haven't seen in life. My man, Kahari Allen, is a sophomore at our college, Antelope Valley College. He's a triple jumper. He's a good one. Kahari got on the board, was in the air, and normally in the triple jump, you jump three times. That's why they call it the triple jump. So, for the second jump, Kahari was here. He was parallel, he had his toes back, everything was beautiful. But what he didn't do was touch the ground and rip back. He just kind of ripped back in the air. And when he did that, he busted a face plant. Never seen it before in the history of the world. And I wasn't recording, and I was like, I just missed the greatest opportunity to have 17 million views on YouTube. I just missed it. Now I'm laughing because Kahari's okay. He lost a little skin. He lost a little skin on his shoulder, on his arm, and his knee, but he's all right. He's going to be okay. He's a young brother. He's going to heal fast, But on the track, there's nowhere to hide. And if you're on the team, you recognize that it's not a spectator sport, right? And it's easy sometimes. Yeah, it's okay. I love y'all. I got to be honest with you. Because I know about this, so I can tell you about this, okay? I'm not taking money. I know about going to church. I'm 44. I've been in church a lot of Sundays for a lot of years, a lot of Wednesday nights, a lot of Thursdays. And for a lot of those years, I didn't contribute a whole lot. I went. I did my due diligence. I came through the door. I paid attention. I wasn't fooling around much in the back, when I was a young person. Right? I was there. I was in the building. I was doing what I was supposed to on Sunday morning. Go to the Lord's house. Give him some glory. And then go back to wilding out all week long. Because that's what young people do. Just do your thing. Right? Got a little bit of Jesus. Just 2 hours. 2 hours out the week. I can give you that, Lord. I can give you that 2 hours. Here you go. Can't give you nothing else, though. Can't give you Monday night. If my team is losing, I got to let the world know how I feel. In the parking lot, somebody cut me off. All that was inside. Now we outside. We got to the street now. What? And then over the course of Unsaved to saved to rock star doesn't just happen. We have to intentionally access the dunamis power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yes.
Okay? So when I read that Isaiah 54 to you, saying, "Oh, barren, thou that did not bear," okay? He's telling the woman that was married and couldn't bear a child, in that patriarchal society, she had nothing to offer. If she didn't produce sons for her husband, her life was basically wasted. And God said, "Well, look here, baby. It's not over. I haven't taken your life." He said, "I need you to prepare in your heart for what I'm about to do. These little young people, they're coming, guys. We've told the neighborhood that they're coming. So we need to be ready. Put your arms out, extend them, welcome them in." We shouldn't have to beg each other to contribute. This has eternal ramifications. There are souls hanging in the balance. Their very life, your very life, my very life was hanging in the balance. When I was in the back, fooling around, half asleep, my life was in the balance. The opportunity to spend an eternity with God was available to me. Not just to get my sins forgiven, but to become his son. To become his daughter. In the New Testament, we're described as the bride of Christ. That God himself would be my husband, that he would take me, that he would sacrifice himself for me and then receive me as his own. I love my wife. I thought about killing her a couple of times. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I would have rolled her up a couple of years, y'all. You know, come on now, 20 years, come on now, come on. Y'all been married? Some of you guys, who's been married the longest in here? Who's been married the longest? How long? 30 years? Don't answer this. Neither one of y'all, especially you. Don't answer this. But if you've been married for any stretch of time, you've been together for a while, y'all been here 25 years, you've raised these boys up in here, you've thought about rolling that sucker up in a rug and carrying him out in the very next night. It's okay. It's okay. God's grace is sufficient. I promise you it is. Especially since you didn't go through with it. It's really, you know, it's a redeemable quality that you can think. It is. We can think it. God is good. He loves us enough. He knows. Thank God he doesn't judge us, you know, in that moment. And, you know, like in the Old Testament, he'd be like, bam, you gone. We are in the grace dispensation, are we not?
Yes.
Thank God for his grace. Yes. All right, here we go. Okay. So, using a baseball analogy, coming to church, we call that getting in the batter's box. Right? Getting out of the car, coming inside, you might even be on, you might have got the first base, maybe you walked. Okay. We won't call it a bunt, we'll give you a walk. Okay? I want to encourage you guys to get to second, though. If I'm your first base coach, you slap a little thing through the infield, it gets past that third baseman. I'm giving you the big one. Turn the corner. Run to second.
That's right.
Yeah.
It only takes a little more energy to decide I'm going to turn two. Mm-hmm. You guys are here, you're exposed to good word. This morning, I was telling Sister, tell me your name again. Sister Adeline, I was like, man, she took my whole shot. But what I was telling Pastor Chris, I said, the Bible's been preached already. Multiple times. Okay? So it's not that we can never hear the same word too many times. We need to be encouraged to get off our behinds, get off our rusty dusties, and do what we're supposed to do, which is what we're told in Matthew 28. Preach the gospel!
Yes.
Preach the word! Right? In season, out of season. Thank you, young brothers, for getting up there and playing. And my sister singing with all your heart. It was lovely this morning. Love to see young people. We want to see young people involved. We want to see Pastor Dave, I saw you up there too, brother. You in. You were wrecking that thing. That was good. Okay? So with the second base concept, guys, get involved. How many of you guys are involved in, you don't have to raise your hand.
You're involved in setting up. You participate in taking the offering. You participate in the worship service. If you can't play an instrument, I don't play anything. All my children can read music. They can all play, something. That's awesome. I just made sure that they had that skill going forward. They can, maybe when they're in college and, somebody needs a worship leader, like, oh, I can play the guitar. Cool, give me $60 a week. Sweet, nice. Here you gotta call me. Great. Get some money in and worship the Lord at the same time. That's a good thing. Okay? Sir. Pastor was telling me that we support international missionaries.
Yes.
Okay? Bible says in Acts that Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. He said, wait. Not stay, but wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said, then you're going to receive power to do what? Be my witnesses. Here in Salinas. There in San Diego. And to the uttermost parts of the world. I am not called to go lead worship in the Philippines. That's not my thing. I teach high school. That's my mission field.
Yeah. That's a great mission.
Yeah, it is. Kids, they're questioning authority. I encourage them to. Ask all the questions you want. We had a track meet Friday. I'm riding with this guy. He's 27 years old. He's been homeless. He's been to jail. He's got a baby coming in April with this, young lady, and she's 21. He's 27 years old. He asked me at least one question on the drive down in the van. He asked me one question from every biblical or spiritual conversation he's ever had, and I had a great time. Here's the fun part, okay? So Hassan, I'm sitting in the passenger seat. Coach Ed is driving. Tyler's sitting behind Coach Ed. Hassan's sitting way in the back. It's only four of us in the van. Tyler is loquacious and asks a lot of questions. Good. Hassan's reading a book for class. Fantastic. Coach Ed, who I've only known for a little while, we've never really talked about spiritual things. And he's kind of my boss. And if he's a God hater, an agnostic, an atheist, and doesn't want to hear all that, well, right now, Tyler's asking these questions that I can answer, and Coach Ed can hear how I feel about this and what I know about this. We did this for almost an hour. It was a beautiful thing. Hassan heard a little bit. He didn't participate at all. He didn't look up once. Coach Ed said a couple of things. He threw some stuff out. I said, okay, I see you got a little biblical background, whatever. You've been exposed to some church things, whatnot. But I would call him, a pew filler. A pew filler, at best. At best. Which I was for many years. Many years. And I would encourage you to believe and participate in the fact that being in the room doesn't make you a Christian. Being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car.
That's right.
Prove me wrong. Oh, since I said prove me wrong, I'll give you another challenge. This is what the hired gun does. He comes in, stirs a pot, and then goes. And then Pastor Chris would be like, you brought the food way up here just so he could tell us all this stuff. Anyway. So here's the one. I love this one. Okay. And I remember this question because I really pondered it after it was asked in church for a long time. And the question was, if there was a trial to prove that you were a Christian, would there be enough evidence to find you guilty? Ain't got nothing to do with me. That's between you and God. Okay? We have the opportunity at our workplace, if we live in an apartment complex and we see the same 37 people every week, We see him in the parking garage. We see him when we get our mail. We see him if you live in a big, expensive, crazy place, right? We see him when we're picking up our dry cleaning.
Where she is. Where it's at, right?
My home, my family's home, we're at the back end of the cul-de-sac. I get to see everybody's comings and going all evening. And on most on our block, there's one person at home in just about every house. There's either a retired person, a homemaker, whatever the situation may be. But I know all the people, they know me whether they want to or not. Good morning! How you doing? Good to see you. Hope all's well. Everything good? How's the commute home? They're walking faster. You doing good? How's your son? Everybody all right? Wife okay? All right. So I have, who's that? Who does that? Who's the neighborhood watch person? I don't care about crime. I care about souls. I'm serious. I care about souls. And we have some neighbors and they're alternative. Okay? Okay? They're alternative. And so Kat and Lizzie are our neighbors. And they've been our neighbors for like 4 years. And they come in, they go out. They come in, they go out. They don't do a lot outside because they're the only alternative neighbors on the block. It's all good. And so the other day, I think it was Thursday morning, it was like 24 degrees in the morning. Oh, I'm walking my dog. Bella's, big dog. She doesn't have a coat. She's got a nice thick coat. She doesn't have one of them little dog jackets or nothing like that. I'm super bundled. I've just scraped my wife's windows off on the truck because we park outside. The garage for me is, hoard space. It's not for cars. That's another conversation. I'm going to get my life together one day. Y'all pray for me. The Lord ain't through with me yet. And so I'm walking Bella, and I get, Cat and Lizzie, they're two doors down, so I see, I've just finished scraping Tiff's windshield, and, she's pulled off, and I go in, I grab Bella, put her on her harness, and we're walking. And I see Lizzie with a hose, it's 24 degrees, I see Lizzie with a hose, and the water turned on her windshield. And I said, it's not going to work. So I go to her, I said, Lizzie, you all right? She says, this isn't working. You don't say. I said, I'll tell you what. I walk up there. I said, how about you turn the car on, get the defrost going, and I'll start scraping. We'll work this thing from both sides. Now, this ain't got nothing to do with spiritual things. This ain't no conversation that, this isn't Jesus and the woman at the well. We're gonna have this big, profound situation. This was nothing but being neighborly. That's all this was. This was me not judging her, not holding anything, not me letting her know through an act of kindness and love that you are no different than me. We're all one under God. So I greet people up. I find the biggest, craziest looking dude I can. Big hair, tattoos, wild, looking super tough. What's happening, my brother? Looking, Kevin, 6'8", he's looking down on me like, what are you talking about? I said, what's happening, my brother? I ain't your D-word brother. We all got the same father, so how you figure you ain't my brother? If he doesn't smile, I'll walk away. If he does, then, what's your name, man? And start a little conversation. Just a little bit. Boom. All right, gotta move on. I would challenge you guys to pray and ask the Lord to show you his purpose for you
and what he wants out of your life. What does he want in exchange for the eternal life that he's given you? What gifts and talents did he put in you that the body of Christ needs? I don't like little kids. 30 of them in my room grabbing my ankles out. I'm not that guy. No, can't do elementary. Anybody teach elementary school? You Sunday school ministry with the little people? Nursery? God bless you. You know, extra crown for you, I pray in Jesus' name. I like older people. 17. 15. Think they know everything. Think they're bulletproof. Think their mama ain't never gonna kick them out. They think all kind of things. And they're wrong about a lot of things. I like talking about it. In relation to prayer, I would challenge you guys to believe that when you pray, your voice is not just echoing off the ceiling. Yes. Because if you have the relationship that Christ offers you, he hears us. His concern is for us. He doesn't care what it is. You could be praying about a hangnail. It's anything from that minor detail all the way up to, Lord, we're on life support. We ain't ready to let go. C.S. Lewis said, to the question, can God hear 100 million prayers at one time? C.S. Lewis said, God has infinite attention to spare for each one of us. He does not deal with us in the mass. You are as much alone with him as if you were the only one he ever created. Now, if you know who C.S. Lewis is, that's what Google's for. It is. I stop answering. I don't answer questions like that no more.
Well, who is C.S. Lewis? Wikipedia.
It's cool. I promise you. I don't do that no more. Stuff that people can look up that doesn't require my expertise. Hey, C.S. Lewis was, he was. Okay. Narnia, other Christian novels, great theologian, great man of God, all as one, look him up. Okay, see us. All right, so when you decide to step out and you say, okay, you know what, let me get out the batter's box, I'm gonna get this bat off my shoulder, and I'm gonna swing for the fences. How's it look? It looks like you availing yourself to the work of the ministry first. Start here. Start where it's safe. You're among friends. You're among family. The worst answer that I hear at church, I've heard in my whole life. Oh God, I hate it so much. I hate it with a godly passion. How you doing, brother?
Fine.
Oh, I hate it so much. I can't stand it. I just want to spit. I'm like, I've known you 37 years. You fine every Sunday?
I know, right?
You ain't never going through nothing? Don't you know that your power is in your humility? This is the power position? That when I go here, that I'm the most powerful I've ever been? When I drop on my knees and I ask the Lord to intervene in my situation, that place of humility, that place where divinity and perfection went for us so that we could be proud? I don't think so. We have the cross right. Empty. Mm-hmm. Empty. Jesus isn't on it. Mm-hmm. He's off it. He allowed himself to be held in a borrowed tomb over a weekend. He did a little time, right? He did a little time for you and for me. He rose in great power. He rose in great power. But he didn't stop there, right? He stays. If you read the book of Acts, chapter 1,
Acts 1, you'll see that Jesus stayed on the earth after he was resurrected for 40 days. And he walked with his disciples, and he told them all about the kingdom of God. And then he rose, and he ascended, and they stood there like this. And they waited, and the angel said, well, what you say he's doing? I used to go to sleep reading the Bible, so I had to, I had to write my own version, write my own transliteration. I'm like, I'm gonna decipher this thing myself. Because I need to, some of this, Shakespearean time translation just put me to sleep. Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Okay. So when we share, we want to present the problem. Okay? We want to use the Roman road to salvation when we're talking to people. If somebody sticks around after you say, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about what I believe. I'm betting my eternity on this, and since I really believe it, I'm willing to put myself out there for you. I'm willing to let everybody in the world know that I'm a fool for Jesus. Would you give me a few minutes? And if they say yes, you got to be ready. Sister said earlier, feel free to pray. You gave a step thing. I'm terrible with that. I promise you, I am. I'm terrible with all that, because I'll get to the second one, I'll be like, now Doug, she said to do this, and then do that. So I don't even try anymore. If you can remember the three steps, go through all three. That's wonderful. If you're that person, and you can check the box, and you'd be like, I prayed that, I'm ready. Me, I'm like, Lord, use me. Done. That's all I got. That's all I got. I promise you. That's all I got. I don't have nothing more. Lord, use me. Okay? So the first thing we got to get them to understand is, okay, I'm doing good. Okay. First thing we got to get them to understand is that all have sinned and fallen short. All means all. That means all y'all. That means me and all y'all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we meet God, the Father, on our own, without the blood of Jesus covering us, we gone. We're out of his presence. We're out of his presence. We're expelled forever from his presence. Because it would be hell to torture a person that does not believe in Christ with heaven for eternity. Everybody walking around happy, smiling, greeting each other with love. You don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of that. You didn't want it here. Not y'all. Could be people out there. So all of them said, we need that. We need to keep that here. Because sometimes we've been in church so long, we can get, we can start looking down our nose at people. Ooh, it's dangerous to be self-righteous. Ooh, it's horrible. You see them? You can smell them. I can. I can smell them a mile away. You see these nostrils? I can smell them a mile away. I'm like, that person really thinks there's something. Ooh, I'm scared for them. Not scared of them, I'm scared for them. Because their fall from grace is going to be a mighty one. It might even be public. Ooh. I hope they don't have to lose their whole family and everything that they work for to get back to that kneeling position. I hope it doesn't take that much. I hope they don't have to be crushed that far before they humble themselves and come to know Christ the Savior. And Lord, they cry, Abba. Okay, that's Greek for Papa, Daddy. It's a closeness, right, that we're supposed to have with Him. It shouldn't be an aloof, a far-off type of relationship. We should be as close to, you should be closer with Jesus. Spurgeon said, I've never prayed for more than 5 minutes. Good one. Charles Spurgeon said, I've never prayed for more than 5 minutes in my life, but I've never gone more than 5 minutes without prayer.
Wow.
Because we've got to be, it's not an accident that we get up here and that you can bring it. It takes a lot of energy to stand before these people and all the faces and challenge them and say, and then still feel the love of Christ coming through with the challenge. You guys gotta get Pastor Chris, make his job easy.
Yeah.
They talk about it in Hebrews. Make it easy on a pastor. Make it easy on him. When they ask you something, when they say volunteer, be the first one. Don't be the last one.
Yes.
I'm talking as a coach, okay? Coaches and pastors, we're similar. We're similar in personality. We've got to instruct people. We've got to correct them, right? We've got to do it lovingly so that they come back the next week, right? I don't want half my team to quit because I was just...
That's right.
Hey, if you try this next time, just try it and tell me how it feels. Hey, I tried that. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Really? Interesting. That's what coaches do. Pastors do the same thing. They say, extend yourself. Extend yourself just a little bit. Do you have a church home? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Have you been involved in spiritual things ever? Did you go to vacation Bible school when you were a kid? We're going to be offering that at our church. Do you have children? I'm not asking you to go out to the beach and, you know, preach to people in your underwear and, you know, do all this, that, and the other. But hey, if you're a lifeguard and, you know, you got a 12-pack and you're out there and you're feeling good and people are always coming up to you and you're spiritually developed as much as you are physically developed, you say, oh, you know what muscle that is right there? And while they're looking, you say, you know what? You know, I see you kind of ogling me. You know what the Lord says about adultery? Like, what? Well, I'm not an adulterer. I ain't even thinking about it. I'm not doing all that stuff. Oh, really? You know, Jesus is funny because he was cold-blooded. You know, the Pharisees, I'm so glad that you guys don't have any, you know, images of Jesus, even though, you know, we're told not to, but, when he says, you know what the law says about adultery? You're supposed to keep it between you and your wife. Yeah. And you're telling me that you haven't done anything that will qualify you as an adulterer. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You ever look at anything you thought you weren't supposed to?
Oh, yeah.
You ever follow somebody on Instagram that ain't your wife, but she's scantily clad? You ever reach out and touch an old boyfriend from way back when on Facebook or LinkedIn or, you know, Instagram or something else? You don't meet them. Let's just check in from now and then. You just follow them. You just troll them a little bit. Jesus cold-blooded because he's like, yeah, I know he's in New Zealand and I know that you're in Salinas, but if you could have, you would have, and therefore you did. There's only so much I can share because, you know, you got a youthful audience over here. If it was just us, I could go a little deeper. Yeah. All right? And I know you could too. All right. So, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all people, all men, all women, all children, all boys, nobody's saved. Romans 3:9-12, I know you guys have been studying Romans, says, none are righteous, no, not one. That leaves all of us in the same position. Right? All.
Yes.
All. Not most, not some, but all. So then the next step on the Roman road, the next block that we got to cross are the consequences. Romans 5:12 said, sin entered the world by one man and death through sin. Death then is part of life, but not by design. This is an example of the Lord's being just or his righteousness, if you will. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, how many of you got to work?
Yeah.
How many of you guys work? Who works? Who's got a job? Or have one, you retired from one, cool. And you still getting a check? That's awesome. Waking up to get paid. Praise the Lord for retirement. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. He's worth it. I
pray we all live long enough to retire, because I put in a lot every month. I want at least 15 years off that, at least 15 on the backside. Okay, anyway, that's another conversation. Okay, the wages of sin is death. When I get my paycheck, I'm not thankful. I'm not appreciative. Fool, that's what you owe me. I don't come in saying, would you please pay me for the work that I've done the last 6 weeks? No, that's what you owe me. Those are my wages. Those are my agreed upon wages. If I'm a contractor and I'm gonna, you know, splash this roof or lay down some new, you know, carpet or whatever it is, when we agree upon a price and I finish the work and it's to your satisfaction or to the agreed upon job, I want my check, because that's what we said we were gonna do. I'm gonna do the work, you're going to pay me. The supplies cost this much, you owe me this much, let's do this with no delay. A workman is worthy of his hire, or her hire. The wages of sin is death. If we work and all we do is sin, we don't get what we earn. Do you work to receive a gift? No. You don't work to receive a gift. Put your hand out. Okay. Wages are earned. Okay. The span. Okay. Who's included? Okay. So from the beginning of time, Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." That's you and I. "Even His eternal power and Godhead," the divine nature, "so that they are without excuse." That's anybody. So you come and you say, well, I just don't see God. It's a blue sky outside. I see a palm tree. I see some other kind of tree. I saw a bird flying. I was only waiting 2 seconds. I just want to see a bird. Oh, I can see the mountains that way. And you think, oh, this just happened. Somebody that really hated God told a story. It's a funny one. Y'all listen. Okay, I really want y'all to listen to this one, because you're going to hear it in school this week. They're going to tell you the same story. They said, they're going to try to make you teach this. Here's the story. It goes like this. Y'all ready? Okay. First, there was nothing. Then nothing exploded. Then nothing that exploded for no apparent reason flung itself all over nowhere. After nothing exploded for no apparent reason, no cause, only the effect, after nothing explodes and flings itself all over nowhere, for over the course of millions and billions and trillions of years, nothing crawled up on the beach. And then over the course of millions and trillions and billions of more years, nothing became life. And then nothing separated from life into two legs, then nothing started walking, then nothing made its own wife, and they had children. Come on, man. You expect me to believe that foolishness? I'm putting my faith in the fact that a real cat really lived a sinless life. There's a couple of things that are difficult for a couple of people, but only because they make them that way. Because once I start with, God made the world and everything in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's my foundational truth. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing is, that same God recognized that there was a problem with His being able to connect with the people that He made, because they decided they didn't want it. They didn't want the connection that He wanted. We call it sin. But they didn't want the connection that He wanted. So there was a rift. And He says, how can I repair this rift? It's going to take blood. It's going to take blood. It can be their blood, but I think it'll be better. And it will be more powerful. And it'll last forever. If it's my son's blood. And they'll understand that I understand their pain when their loved one has to go away, even though I hear their prayers. They'll know that I know their pain because I gave my only son for them in exchange for their blood, the very Son of God for me in exchange in my blood? Really? It's a heck of a deal, man. It's a heck of a deal. Who's going to the cross for you besides Jesus? Anybody else? I love my parents. I really do.
My dad. I miss my pop.
My dad smacking salmon, flirting with waitresses. I love him anyway. Thank God he's older now. He's not moving as fast. He can't do as many things. He's probably still thinking it, but he ain't doing it like he used to. Praise God for that. You know, I'll take it. But my dad never died for me. And he couldn't, even if he did. If he sacrificed himself, he jumped in front of a car for me, that would be great, but it wouldn't save my soul. It wouldn't. I love Martin Luther King. I love, you know, Kennedy, both Kennedys. You know, Abraham Lincoln, thank God for him. They gave their life for us. Medgar Evers, praise God for him. None of that had an eternal consequence. Okay. So we talk about the span. It says, who are they? Does anyone ever live? It's in that passage, Romans 1:20. But there's a solution, guys. There's a solution. Romans 5:6-8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's just before that, he talks about how it's very rare that an individual would die for a righteous person. Yeah. I love all y'all. But if it came down to you or my son, my big hit son Blake, or you, you're like, Lord, you know they hard to save them, you know, bring them home. I need my baby boy. Come on now. I'm human. I'm not the Savior. That's why we worship him. We don't worship nobody. We're regular people. We all knucklehead people. Okay? And y'all forgive me. I don't call myself a, you know, a sinner. I'm saved by grace. My identity now is that I'm saved by grace. When I say that over and over and over, I don't constantly walk with the burden of sin on my back.
Right.
I can stand upright. I can come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace, wherein there is help when I need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The power is available to all of us, guys. It's not a secret. We just gotta avail ourselves. Open your heart. Okay? Stretch forth. Sing, O barren. You may have felt like you were far away from God. Can I get a volunteer? Who would like a volunteer? I'm gonna take one of y'all. Come on, lady. Okay, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to face that wall. And then I want you to walk. We're gonna walk together. Put your back towards my back. Closer. All right, we're gonna walk together. Give me this hand. Okay, we're gonna walk together so you know. Okay, so here we are. Come on, let's go slow. Not that big, small steps. So we're walking, right? And here I am. I'm running away from God. I'm chasing women. I'm smoking dope. I'm selling stuff I ain't supposed to be selling. I'm giving people bad loans that they can't afford, right? I'm doing bad business. I'm horrible. And I'm hiding from God. Every time he comes looking for me, I hide in my face. Hey, man, I ain't seen you in church in a while. If you can get right, what did Christ go to the cross for? Watch yourself. Be careful. Okay? So we're acting like God is 100 miles away. Just because we walked 100 miles. That's the other one. We walk 100 miles away, and we're in the hog's pen now, right? We're in the hog's pen. You know the story of Rich Young Ruler? We're in the hog's pen. And we're sitting there. We come to ourselves, and we're like, man, in my father's house, the servants eat better than this. 3 times a day. Why am I here? Then he prepared this whole situation. Now go way over there. Go to the wall. He prepares this whole statement in his mind. I'm gonna go back to my daddy, and I'm gonna ask him to forgive me, and I'm gonna fall on my face before him, and I'm going to and I'm gonna beg his forgiveness, and I tell him I'll work in the stable. I don't want to have the title of son anymore. And he put your arms out like this. And the story says that he sees his son a long way off. And he goes and running. He drops his rake or whatever the heck he's got. He goes and running.
Don't jump.
And he receives his son unto his own thing. Everybody give her a hand, please. He receives his son back, and he says, Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I went over time. Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I sinned against you. I sinned against our family. You know, I told you you were useless. I just wanted your stuff, and I didn't want you. I pray over and over, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. And I said, I never said, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord.
Did y'all get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear no amen. I wasn't put off, but I was just like, are you listening? Was I talking too fast? Did I study? Okay. So anyway. So he says, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. Hug him hard and kiss his neck. Funky. Smelling like pig guts. And a clean excrement. He didn't bathe him first. He didn't say go over there and shave, shower, and perfume yourself and come back when you smell good. He said, come here, boy. Where you been? I've been waiting for you. What's the appropriate response? Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say maybe. Okay, this is really important to me. Okay, it's really important to me. Y'all give me a couple minutes. Y'all, a couple minutes. Ain't nobody walking out. Anybody got a reservation at 12:30? I've been there. Like, come on, Pastor. You gotta get up out of here now. You gotta get to Olive Garden. Hey, who goes there? Any of you guys go shopping on Sunday and you know or work in the supermarket or anything, you know the post-church crowd? Church let out about 12, right? They let out at 10:30, it's super packed, and then you got the little lull and an afternoon service. Anyway, okay, so here we go. That thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is a Greek word. It's salvos. It means washing. I'm gonna use an old term. I want y'all to Google this. This is just for you guys. Washboard. Y'all remember washboard? You remember the reference? Remember when the reference of washboard abs first came out? Washboard. You take those clothes. Boom. Salvos, man. Salvos. Saved. Washed by the water of the word. Saved from the wrath of God. Because me on my own, in face of God, with all of my sin, you know, being played on the big screen behind me, I can't handle that. However, when God looks at me, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. All he sees is the blood of Jesus. I'm completely, it's not atonement, guys. Atonement was temporary thing. Atonement was temporary. That's the Old Testament. It's obsolete. It's dead. It's dying. The glory has faded from the Old Covenant. That's why we got a new covenant. Anybody used an iron that they set on the stove for 40 minutes to get hot? Anybody use that this morning to get ready? No, because it's obsolete technology. We don't use that anymore. Anybody take a pontoon boat from here to, you know, here to Hawaii? No! It's obsolete! It is. We got to get the concept of obsolete. Look, Hebrews says, when we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, that when we read the Old Testament, that we read it for our learning. It's a testament. That's a will. Do you want the testament that your dad wrote 20 years before he died, or the one that he wrote 5 minutes before he died? Which one do you want?
Which one?
5 minutes. 5 minutes. You know why? Because it's the one that's relevant. Yes. The other one is a record.
it's got a record. He said, oh, 20 years ago, my dad left me the deuce and a quarter. You know, he said, you can have the deuce and a quarter, and you can have the property over on, you know, east, whatever. Sold that in 2010. That's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not blasting. Don't get me wrong. But it's obsolete. That information is not what we're going to use today. They're going to exact upon you whatever the last one was. For us, that's the New Testament.
Yes.
It's very important that we get that. Okay, last one. I don't feel saved. Who's ever witnessed somebody, they accepted, they responded appropriately to the offer of Jesus Christ, and they said, you know, you ran into them a week later, hey man, I know I said yes, and I really believe in my heart, you know, I know I confessed it, you said that was it, and thou shalt be saved, but I don't feel saved. Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Put your hand up if you've ever been there. You've not felt saved at some point in your life. You were doing something that you shouldn't have been doing as a saved person. You were still doing it, and you went back.
Yeah.
You went back to the old way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pray first; you prayed last. You were like, "Oh man, I really should have prayed first." Yeah. Okay. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible stays away from the feel-saved talk, which is sort of ethereal. It's kind of dainty. It's wishy-washy. The Word of God establishes the truth and moves on. It might even build upon it. But what it doesn't do is revisit it 100 times until you feel like that's actually the case. It doesn't matter if you feel like Jesus is resurrected or not. He is.
Yes.
If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are. His son, you are his daughter. Be that, walk in it. That's why he says, call me Abba, Father. We don't have to pray like, you know, like, oh, we're hoping that you receive our prayer today. He's your dad, he's your father, he's loving you. He's like, in the middle of a board meeting, come on in, see us close. He's forever attentive to all of our saying, all of our prayers. It mattered to him. Every little bit of it. The struggle at work. The struggle in your marriage. The struggle in your finances. The struggle at church. The struggle in your heart. You're trying to figure it out. He wants to help you with that. Good. Philippians 1:6. We need to be resolute. Confident of this very thing. We need to be resolute. Resolve it in your mind. That he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not over. It's not over. If he left you here, you're still alive, you're breathing. I don't care if you're retired or not. I don't care if you're 6 or 76. It ain't over. When it's over, taking your last breath. Somebody breaks in here today, starts, you know, spraying out the place, you know, with paint. We need to know that on the other side of our last breath, we're going home. Guys, we are sojourners. We're not home yet. I don't care how nice your home is. Ecclesiastes have a beautiful home. I was there. It was wonderful. I was like, oh, this is so nice. They got, you know, the swing and the dogs. And it's lovely. But they ain't home yet. They're sojourners. We're still traversing this thing. He's walking with us. He didn't leave us. He won't forsake us.
Last description. Romans 8:38-39.
I'm convinced that neither night, life, nor death, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation
will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's eternal life, guys, because guess what? It's eternal. It lasts forever. You're not in the process of earning it. You got it.
no one is going to snatch you out of his hand. If you're in the bosom of Christ, you're in! And we need to be resolute about that. Shall be saved doesn't come with a question mark. There's no asterisk. Okay? John 6:40, last one. And this is the will of him that sent me, Jesus is talking, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And Jesus says, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Don't matter. You're right. One of us is right. One of us is right. But at some point, Jesus is coming back for his church. I don't know what year it's going to be. I don't know what time of day. The Bible says, you know, he's going to come like a thief in the night. So be prepared. Then he gives the parable right after that. When he says be prepared, then he tells the parable of the 10 virgins. Or the people seeking oil, whatever. The guy hosting a party says, hey, come on, come on, come on, come on. A few say, sure. And they start walking. A few say, it's night. Come now. Take your lantern, follow me. They start walking. And a few say, yo, can you spare some oil? You're asking me to get you prepared now? The sucker said, come on. If I wait and fill your thing now, then I'll be gone. Shall be saved. Will raise him up on the last day. None shall be snatched from my hand. The ones that my Father have given me, my sheep hear my voice, and they respond to it. The shepherd in Israel has a guttural sound that only his sheep respond to. I'll make sheep sound. Yo! That's my guttural sound. Wellingtons! My kids don't move. I'll figure it out. I guess I'll take three other kids home. I'm This is what I know about sheep. There's a few things I know about sheep. I've never been around them very much. If you know more, please share it as soon as we finish. But check this out. I know this. Sheep are stupid. Their brains only function on a very low level. It's funny that God associates with sheep. I don't mind. I'm humble. I don't mind. I'm cool. He calls me a sheep. Maybe not sheep. Maybe you want to be something else. I'll be a sheep. For Jesus, I'll be a sheep. Sheep are also directionless. They got no GPS. 200 sheep will run off the same cliff at the same time. One after the other. Boom, 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 boom. 166 later. Boom, 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 boom. Why? Sheep are stupid. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep have no defense mechanisms. Why did Jesus call a sheep? My sheep hear my voice to follow me. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not like a hireling that'll run at the first sign of danger. The sheep need to be led to water, to grass, where they can rest, where they can nourish themselves, where they can have a covering. Jesus offers all of that to us. He says, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. I'm not calling you stupid. But I will tell you this. We'll leave that one off. Let's go with the other two. You are defenseless against the wiles of the devil without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I start lying, tell me. Throw tomatoes. Feel free.
Okay. And you're without direction minus the Geiger counter of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I would challenge anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as your personal savior, and have Pastor David, you go to the keyboard. I challenge anybody here today, are there any visitors in the place? It seemed like everybody knew everybody. And well, can tell all each other's own stories. Are there any visitors here? No? Okay. Let me invite you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we open the doors of the church at this time.